And we're going to feature today or begin with Jonathan Katab. He is a human rights lawyer from East Jerusalem. He is from the Christian community, and he is was once a visiting professor at Osgoode Law School. And he's been speaking across the country, and he has a few more days of his visit here. And I think he's on the line. Are you there, Jonathan?
I am.
Well, Jonathan Katab, before we start, I want to make sure I tell our listeners that you're speaking tomorrow night, October the 9th at 7 o'clock, 90 Greenwood Drive in Stratford, Ontario. And then on Wednesday, October 10 at 7 p.m., 60 Lowther Avenue here in Toronto. And that's Beth Satoon is your host. And, of course, that 60 Lowther is the Friends Center. I guess I can say Quaker. And October 11, you're going to also speak at the Arab Cultural Center at 1289 Matheson Boulevard. And all of these programs are at 7 o'clock. We'll repeat this information later on in the show. You come to Canada at a very important time. I think many in Canada who follow the Middle East and all the stresses and strain have been shocked by rather rapid developments and troubling developments. You're speaking on your theme is the new thinking for post-Oslo Palestine. And I assume this new thinking is addressing these questions of the strange expression. Let's start with that one. The deal of the century. What the heck is it?
Well, for many years, since the 1967 war when Israel won and occupied the West Bank and Gaza, many people of goodwill on all sides thought that there was an opportunity to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian problem along the lines of a two-state solution, land for peace, where Israel would give up the territories it captured in 67 in return for Palestinians and Arabs, giving up their claims for basically all the land they lost in Palestine in 1948 and establish a two-state solution.
Mm-hmm.
This was more or less confirmed in the United Nations, and the Oslo process was supposed to start that gradual movement towards a two-state solution. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the State of Israel, under both left and right governments, really didn't have their heart in it. They were very busy settling the occupied territories, which were actually only 22% of historic Palestine, mm-hmm. with exclusive Jewish settlements, mm-hmm. not Israeli settlements. These were for Jews alone. Mm-hmm. And they're establishing for these settlements a separate juridical system, different laws, different roads that applied only to the Jews, a different health system, educational system, economic system. And they were already treating those territories as part of Israel, while ruling the rest of the Palestinians under military law and not really allowing the formation or the beginning even of the formation of a two-state solution.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 2 years, this whole process has collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
It's become almost impossible now to talk about a two-state solution. Over 700,000 Jewish settlers are living in the area that's supposed to be a Palestinian state.
700,000?
Sir?
700,000. I just wondered, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And the idea of sharing Jerusalem was also being continuously eroded on the ground as Israel built two sets of Jewish settlements surrounding East Jerusalem and basically annexed it into Israel. And then President Trump comes along and says, who cares about two-state solution? Who cares about Jerusalem? Who cares about refugees? Let's solve this once and for all. Israel has won, and let them have their way. And the deal of the century is we stop talking about two states. Hmm. We say Jerusalem is for Israel. It's a Jewish state. That's off the table. Refugees, we'll redefine the word refugee to exclude basically all refugees except for those who left in 1948, none of their children or grandchildren. So there's no refugee problem anymore. Mm-hmm. Settlements are not really a problem. Israel can set up settlements wherever they want. And the problem is solved. You just define it out of existence.
Mm-hmm. When you describe the Trump position, and of course I guess that particularly also his colleague, Mr. Netanyahu, they remind me of a line from, I think it was Ariel Sharon who said, let's create facts on the ground. Just create and put aside, you know, any consideration of international participation.
Correct. I think it's even beyond creating facts on the ground. It's creating facts that are so powerful, so visible, so concrete, just by mere power alone, that they become facts and you can't do anything about them and you might as well accept them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't accept them, tough. You don't have the power to change them.
Yeah. Well, another matter you're addressing is they're also cutting off U.S. funding for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency.
Correct. That's a way of redefining who is a refugee. Mm-hmm. This was a temporary agency that was set up to provide basic assistance, schooling, healthcare, and some social services for refugees until they return to their homes. Mm-hmm. Now, Israel says, they're not going to return. We're not going to allow them to return. So what's the point of this agency? Let's just close down this agency and let them fare as best they can. It's not our problem anymore. Mm-hmm. Let them stop dreaming about returning to their lands. They're not going to return. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's mm-hmm. no more problem. Let them find a solution elsewhere.
Yes. we're speaking to Jonathan Kitab. He is speaking, by the way, tomorrow, Tuesday, October 9, 7 p.m. at Greenwood Drive in Stratford. He's speaking Wednesday in Toronto, October 10, 7 o'clock, 60 Lowther Avenue, and it is organized by Beth Zetoun, very respected, very highly regarded organization here. And on October the 11th at 7 p.m. in the Arab Cultural Center, 1289 Matheson Boulevard. And Jonathan, most of the states, the big ones, members of the Security Council, Canada, each time Trump has said, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, well, there's been a response, but what have you analyzed how the reaction of the Europeans and others to all of this aggressive behavior by Trump?
Well, I think Trump is a new phenomena. Until Trump came, there was always a pretense that we're working on the problem. We really respect international law, but there are certain circumstances. You have to give us time. Uh-huh. You have to wait for the right conditions. There has to be more moderation on all sides. But basically, we're working on it. Mm-hmm. The two-state solution is coming. You just have to wait a little bit more. You have to be patient. You have to be more reasonable. Mm-hmm. Don't pressure Israel. Don't try and enforce these things. Yes, settlements are a problem, but they're a temporary problem. We'll work it out as part of the final resolution. Peace will come, but we just have to wait a little. With the right leaders, with the right circumstances, we can solve this. Mm-hmm. Now, with Trump, I think we saw that the most extreme right-wing fanatical governments Israel has ever had has found a champion who says, go for it. You don't even have to pretend that the U.S. is holding you back. we're not holding you back. Do whatever you want. That's all yours. Go for it. And who cares what the UN and the rest of the world thinks? We're behind you. And you want Jerusalem? Keep Jerusalem. Yes. Who cares what Muslims think? There are only 1.8 billion of them. And they don't care that much. Mm-hmm. Just do what you want.
Uh-huh. Well, do you hope have any hope for the those from there are developing problems with clearly with Moscow. Some certainly here we hear a lot about difficulties, new and anticipated and almost relished problems with China. But there's also France, Europe, Germany. Do you see any from that quarter? Anybody saying, well, we're going to go a different way?
Well, I think the entire world is going a different way. And let me explain what I mean by that. For many years, the United States has sort of insulated Israel from international public opinion by using the veto at the United Nations to prevent any concrete sanctions. So Israel has been used to being condemned as violating international law, but not having to pay a price for it. I think this is, we are now at the cusp of a new situation where people realize that Israel having successfully undermined the two-state solution is now facing a reality of having to come up with a solution itself. A good friend of mine, who is a Canadian director for the Mennonite Central Committee in the West Bank, 5 years ago, he told me that what I tell my Israeli friends these days is, you won. There is not going to be a Palestinian state. You've effectively undermined any possibility. What are you going to do now? Are you going to be forever ruling another people? 5 million Palestinians under military orders? No rule of law, no equality, no rights? Is this a permanent state of affairs? Or are you going to give them rights and equality, and then what happens to you? Who are you as Israel? You claim to be a Jewish state. What does the Jewish state do with half of its population who are not Jewish? Do they subjugate them? Do you accept that you are an apartheid state and you're very glad that that's the way it is? Will the world tolerate apartheid anymore? Two or three centuries ago, that was fine. That was standard operating procedure. Settler colonialism, ethnic cleansing,
certainly in Canada,
annexing territory by force was standard. That's what people did. That's how the world ran a few centuries ago. We are living in a different world where apartheid is not accepted, where equality is required and demanded, where racism and inequality and discrimination are frowned upon. They occur here and there, but they can't be the basis for existence of any state whatsoever. This is the real crisis that I think Israel is facing these days.
Well, I think we have to end it there, but I can see why it's very important everybody turn out for your talks. By the way, I hope you don't have a cold. You sound like your tour across Canada has been a bit of a strain.
It has been a bit of a strain. I have a cold. I'm trying to recover a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have still enough energy for these two or three remaining talks.
Well, Tuesday at 7 o'clock in Stratford, 90 Greenwood Drive, and Wednesday, 60 Lowther, and that's Toronto, and on the 11th, Thursday, Arab Cultural Center, 1289 Matheson Boulevard. We're really glad you're in the country. It was wonderful talking to you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. And I hope that some people who disagree with me will show up, because I really would like to see what they have to present or to offer in return for, or in other than accepting apartheid as a permanent state of affairs.
That's a good challenge. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
This is the Taylor Report. It is CAUT. It's 89.5 FM. We're going to take a short break. We will come back and talk to David Himbara about developments in Rwanda. And then later, we will have the complete interview with Victoire Ingabire herself.